The Trail Network podcast is brought to you by Sandy Boy Productions.
I was counting the seconds and...
With the cheers?
Yeah, with the cheers. And like I was hoping to hear the cheers at a longer and longer gap distance. But it never happened until like the very last section of the race, actually.
Hello, and welcome to the Trail Network podcast. In this episode, I'm joined by Francesco Pupi and Matt Daniels. These two gentlemen just placed first and second at the Chuckanut 50K, both breaking the previous course record set by Max King. In this episode, we talk about their head-to-head battle at the Chuckanut 50K and what transpired over the race. We talk about what it was like to be so close to a competitor for such a long time and the special connection that they developed by racing one another. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Trail Network podcast. I'm here with Francesco Pupi and Matt Daniels, who recently just went first and second at the Chuckanut 50K, both dipping under the prestigious course record set by Max King. How are you guys feeling?
Oh, good. It's so good to see you too. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I think I'm still not fully recovered. I went for a run today and I'm still a little bit trashed thanks to Francesco pushing the pace for 3.5 hours. So I'm doing well though, and I'm excited to catch up. I know we didn't get to talk a whole lot after the race, but stoked to get the chance to now.
Yeah, pretty much the same. First of all, I wanted to say thanks to Rachel for recording this podcast with us. It's a real pleasure, and also for hosting me for these days in Portland. we're actually recording live, so it's pretty cool. It doesn't happen too often. And honestly, since the race, I didn't have that much time to recover. We've been doing lots of things, traveling from Bellingham to Portland, and lots of walking and sightseeing and just doing things because we're here, and with my girlfriend, we wanted to get a chance to explore a little bit the Pacific Northwest, which has been a lot of fun, but not ideal for recovery. And then I think this race took so much out of me, both physically and mentally, that it'll take a while. So I didn't run yesterday. I actually went for a run this morning with Tyler Green. Felt okay, but definitely not fully recovered as I was expecting. So yeah, time to time.
Yeah. So Francesco just mentioned he's been staying in Portland with us for a few days. Matt, why don't you let people know where you're calling in from?
Yeah, I'm out here in Boulder, back in Colorado. And it was kind of nice when I had to leave a little bit early out to Bellingham because we had a massive snowstorm coming in. So I got to miss like 2 feet of snow and came back here, and it's beautiful. It's like 60 degrees and sunny. And but yeah, back at altitude, back on the training grind, getting ready for the next race. And yeah, not really getting to enjoy a whole lot of downtime, but that's okay. I'm excited for what's ahead.
Speaking of which, I just saw you were signed up for Gorge Waterfalls 100K. Is that the next objective on your calendar?
Yeah, right now it is. I'm trying to get in. I realized how bad I want to get back into Western States, so I'd like to have a shot at that, at a golden ticket race. So trying to get into canyons. I know there's a wait list right now, so I'm on the wait list. If I get off that in the next 2 weeks, then I'll do that, you know, rather than doing Gorge. But I'm also really excited to get back out in the Pacific Northwest and run 100K out there. And so yeah, right now the plan is either canyons or Gorge 100K. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, I hope you're able to get into canyons, not only for your sake, but for the sake of fans of the sport who want to see you throw down there.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. I was like, I needed a little break from Western States. And then I was out there last year and super inspired by, you know, hanging out with you guys and then seeing Tyler rip through every aid station. It was like, I got to get back into this race. And fortunately, fitness has come along quite nicely. And so I feel like it's kind of the right time. It's just a matter of getting, you know, getting in and getting that opportunity. But yeah, hopefully it comes to fruition.
Yeah. And you're doing Lake Sonoma, is that, that's correct?
Yeah. The idea for this US trip was to combine two races into a single trip. So I ran Chaconet, and I'll be staying for a month and a half in the US and run Lake Sonoma in April. It's a 50 mile, so I'm very excited. It's my longest distance, and I've run one just once, a 50 miler before, Templier last year. And the cool thing is that I'll get to train with Matt in Boulder. So I'm excited to share some runs with the Boulder boys and Matt pretty soon. I'm moving to Boulder next week for a little altitude training camp, and then move to San Francisco and Sonoma for Lake Sonoma, and then head back to Italy.
Awesome. Yeah. So I want to shift gears and kind of talk about your origin story and the first time the two of you met, which I believe was back in 2016 at the World Mountain Running Championships in Bulgaria, yep. Where the U.S. placed first and Italy placed second team Whoa. Score. Yeah. Do you guys remember meeting each other? Matt, do you remember meeting Francesco there?
Yeah, I do, very briefly. I think I remember this was my first international race that year. And so I was kind of just, it was like a whirlwind, a lot of like new experiences and everything. And I remember our game plan for the race was, we knew the Italians were very strong. And so our game plan was to go out very, very hard. And as soon as the trail narrowed, all the US guys were going to hopefully be in front and just slow the race down. So the Italians were further back, and then we were going to let Joe Gray just like hammer the first climb and hopefully get a gap and hopefully, you know, get gold from that race plan. And so I remember having that race plan before and just absolutely dying in the middle of the race from going out too hard, but it paid off. We got gold. We beat the Italians, you know, USA, USA. But no, I remember hanging out with Francesco a little bit after, at the kind of like the after party after the race. And, we were just being, you know, stupid Americans and celebrating, and the Italians came and they were good sports, and we had a great time. And we have a mutual friend, Andy Wacker, who I was living with at the time, and he introduced me to Francesco, and yeah, just hit it off from there, and then saw each other at a few world championships in the coming years after that too. So
yeah, I remember that race. It was actually my first national team in the classic distance of mountain running, so I was very excited. And now I do remember the feeling of like such a fast start, but I didn't know it was on your plans like to blow up the race and have this strategy to like try to stay ahead of us. And it definitely worked. I mean, Joe ended up winning that world championship. Hayden Ox was fourth, I think. I don't remember what place you got, if you were in front of me or not, but I think I was like, I was in the top 20, but it felt like such a hard race because we were running so hard from the very, very beginning of the race. So yeah, good memories. And yeah, it was the first time we met each other.
Yep.
I am so excited to share that the Trail Network is supported by Osprey Packs, the premier pack company and creators of my personal favorite trail running pack, the Dyna 6. I've used the same Dyna 6 for the past 7 years without anything breaking. I've taken it on long days in the mountains, and I've done races in it, including the CCC 100-kilometer race at UTMB. All their packs are extremely comfortable and have top-notch durability. I'm so grateful to our friends at Osprey for supporting our podcast. Go check them out at osprey.com or at your favorite retail store. So speaking of going into big A races with game plans, I'm curious, Francesco, what was your game plan going into Chaconet, and did you anticipate such a battle with Matt?
Yeah, good question. So I didn't know many of the people who were signed up. I was hoping that Anthony Costales would be able to run Chaconet, but he ended up dropping out because he was injured. So Matt was the only athlete I really knew could stay in the front of the race. And the race went out pretty fast, thanks to the pretty hard pace that was set by two American guys in the first flat section, and I tried to just stay with them, and it was I was feeling it was a really good pace, but I was thinking, if I want to try to win this thing, I have to stay here, I have to, you know, play out front. I was kind of surprised not to see Matt with us, but I could see him just a few seconds back, and it became clear that it would be my number one competitor by mile 10, because like it was always at the same, like we were always keeping the same gap, you know, when someone is like always 20 to 30 seconds back and he's not giving up, even when you're forcing the pace, when you're pushing and trying to get a more comfortable gap. So by halfway through the race, it became clear that Matt would be my best competitor for the day. And it felt really, really hard to bring it home and get the first place. And the bonus is that we both ran under the old course record by quite a few minutes, because I think I beat it by 6.5 minutes. And it was a pretty strong course record because it was set by Max King,
and it's held up for
seven years. While and lots of good runners have run it checking it, and the course hasn't really changed over the years, so to put my name among those people feels like a really, really, really good thing. And considering it's my first trail race of the season, 2024 is looking great. I'm really glad I survived the winter, and I'm healthy and feeling strong. So that's very important. I honestly couldn't hope for a better day.
Awesome. Matt, how was your game plan, and how true to life did that come to be?
Yeah, gosh, I didn't have too big of a game plan. I knew that it was gonna be one of those races where we had to go under 3:30. I thought to win the race. I thought there was no other way around it, just by some of the guys in the field. There was a lot of guys with really fast running backgrounds in the field, and I think that's why the pace went out so hot to begin with. I just straight up couldn't keep up that first 10K. It was kind of wild for me. I was like doing everything I could to like stay, you know, like within 30 seconds of those guys at the start in that first 10K. They were just running so fast. Fast for what I thought for like what was ahead, you know, with all the climbing in the middle of the course. I knew there was this like kind of dirt road section with like a 2 or 3 mile climb. And I figured a lot of those guys are going to come back. Francesco's definitely not going to come back on that part because he's so good at climbing. But I knew, I was like, maybe this will be the opportunity where I can kind of catch up and start running more within myself. And lo and behold, that was the case. And so it took a while to kind of get that. And then Francesco was just like, from then on, probably anywhere between 10 and 30 seconds, just right ahead of me. And I was pushing at times to try and like close the gap, but I also didn't want to like surge hard at any given point. And so I was like, man, just wait until the last downhill and the bike path, and then hopefully I can kind of like do enough to at least, you know, run shoulder to shoulder with him into the finish. And I got to that last downhill, and I don't know, man, Francesco, you just absolutely rocked that downhill and just put a huge gap on me. And I started cramping up so bad after that last steep climb. And so that downhill was just all about trying to not like buckle into with all the leg cramping I had going on, and then just, you know, get to that bike path and get to the finish. And that's where I think I kind of unraveled.
It's interesting. I think you were only 30 seconds back at the top of that descent. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Francesco's partner, Gloria, who was crewing him at the bottom of that descent. And the only information she had was that you were 30 seconds behind. So when he came down, she told him 30 seconds, I think. Do you remember her telling you that? And what were you thinking when you heard Matt was only 30 seconds back, or so you thought?
Yeah, like since I could always see Matt running behind me at a distance that wasn't giving me like the security that I could go for the win, I was always pushing. And even when we hit the trail near near Chacana Drive, the flat trail, the final 10K. I was always trying to push the pace because I didn't know how far Matt would be. Yeah, it wasn't like until the very last 200 meters of the race, maybe, that I was sure that I was going to get the win. And I definitely tried to run the final downhill as hard as I could, because I think that section was the last one where I could make a real difference, because knowing that Matt is so good on the flat, of course I didn't want to get to a sprint finish because you never know how it's gonna be. Mm-hmm. And you could, like, you kind of try to play your strengths. But yeah, I think a lot of times we think there is more strategy than what it actually ends up being. Many times you're just trying to do your best and running as hard as you can in any given section of the race. And that's what it felt like for me. Also, I think it's not like Matt couldn't stay in the front in the beginning of the race. It was just an intentional decision, which in retrospect feels very smart, because basically it let the other guys get tired and like basically fall apart. And then he made his move and he was able to run so well. And to me, it doesn't feel like a mistake that he wasn't running with me. Like, actually, we never really ran next to each other. And that's funny because it felt like
for the entire
50K, yeah, I felt his presence and it felt like I was running this race with Matt. But actually, he was never next to me for the entire race. Hmm. So that's kind of peculiar.
I'm curious if you felt any low points, like you're giving your all and it's not really making a difference. You keep seeing Matt. Did you have any low points or doubts? Like, man, I just don't think I can win this race because I can't shake him.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit after the Chacanut Ridge, which is like a fairly technical, mostly slow section with lots of up and downs and roots and rocks. Halfway through the race, and I saw Matt getting closer, a little bit closer than the section before. So I thought, well, maybe he's like gonna catch up with me, and then, you know, once we're running together, you never know how it's gonna be. But luckily, I was able to keep that little gap that I had, and also it always feels hard when you're pushing and trying to surge at every corner, every little climb, every part where, you know, you can make a difference, but it doesn't make a difference. Like it doesn't work. It doesn't produce the result that you want. But at the same time, it's so cool because that's where the competition is like really hard. Like that's the whole point of competing. Like if it was easy, it wouldn't be as rewarding or as fun.
Yeah, it's fun for us to watch as well. Matt, what were you thinking as you just kept seeing Francesco and maybe you got a little bit closer on the technical ridge, but what was going through your mind as you chased him?
Yeah, that's interesting. You said that about the technical ridge because for some reason that section is probably where I felt my best the entire race. And I was toying with the idea of surging just enough to try and catch up and run a little bit closer to you. But the whole race, I had a little bit of like doubt in my mind. I guess I was a little bit concerned about how, like what a little surge in the middle of this race would do to me, just because I didn't go into the race, didn't feel fully recovered yet from Big Alta. So I was kind of concerned like, oh, if I like just run a little bit above threshold at any point, I'm like, I could just be totally like losing it the rest of this race and you know, falling apart. And so I tried to keep it as steady as I could and was hoping Francesco would kind of come back at some point. But I know Francesco and he's a strong runner in every discipline. I mean, he's one of the best climbers in the world and he can run downhill and he's really good on the flats. And so it was just like kind of just hoping that like at some point our like he would either slow down just a tad or I would be able to speed up just a tad, you know, just enough to be running with him for more of the race. But it was just kind of, I wouldn't say cat and mouse, but it was just kind of like I was trying to reel in the big fish the whole time and it never really kind of came together. But it's funny because it did feel like we were running together the whole time. I think anytime like like he was going to an aid station or passing by people that were out on the trail cheering, like I would hear them cheer and then I would count how many seconds until I got to those people. And so it was like, I was just like, okay, now I'm 15 seconds, now I'm 10 seconds. And then it'd be like, oh crap, now I'm 25 seconds, now I'm 30 seconds. So it was a lot of just being in my own head, trying to figure out how I was going to get to this finish line in first. But it was tough.
It was the same for me. Yeah. I was counting the seconds and
with the cheers.
Yeah. With the cheers. And like, I was hoping to hear the cheers at a longer and longer gap distance. But it never happened until like the very last section of the race, actually.
I can remember going up that final climb up the chin scraper. Ryan Thrower was out there filming, and I heard him cheering for you while he was filming, and I could see you up on, you know, this, because it was very switchbacky, and I could see you up there, and I was like, I wanted to tell Ryan, like, don't cheer for me, don't say anything, so in case, you know, you could hear. But then I saw that you could see where I was on that climb, and and then I didn't hear again until towards the bottom of the descent. I heard the crowd as you went into that last aid station, and I was like, wow, I think at that point you were maybe 90 seconds up on me or something like that. So I knew it was going to be a lot of hard work to have to try and catch up to you on the bike path there.
Yeah, I think we ran a really good downhill, like looking at on Strava, mm-hmm. like the segments and even my watch. I think we ran a mile under 4:45 on that downhill. So it was like really fast, and we really tried to push to our limits there.
Yeah, it was fun.
This, both of you dipping under this course record and you just kind of, Francesco, looking at the data on Strava and seeing these segments that you both ran really fast. I'm curious, and Francesco, you mentioned this in a post. You said it was mainly because we were constantly pushing each other that we were both able to run under the course record of this historic event. And I think that's really cool that, you know, it took both of you being there battling head to head to dip under this course record. Matt, would you agree? Do you think you would have run as fast if you hadn't been chasing down Francesco?
Oh, definitely not. I think, yeah, it's just it's just proof to, you know, like showing where we are in trail running right now. It's like every race, it seems like that we go to now, that's becoming the case. There's just more and more fast runners and more good runners all lining up together in races. I mean, for instance, the women's race at Chuckanut was incredible. I think in the top three, less than 5 minutes separated all of them. And so they were all pushing each other the whole way too, and probably wouldn't have been such a close race if it wasn't for each one of them being in the race. But there's no way I think we would have ran that fast if it wasn't for each other in the race. I think that's the beauty of competition, and the beauty of trail running is, like, you know, you could times don't really matter a whole lot. Like, it's cool to get a course record, but it's really neat to know you pushed each other to that point to where you do have kind of a historic day, and it was thanks to one another, and it's even more fun when it's a good friend of yours. So I definitely don't think it would have happened without him being there.
I love that. That's so awesome. And I think just thinking about the beauty of the sport and the beauty of a hard effort, regardless of the time. I mean, yes, the course record, that's incredible. That's so historic, but also just the satisfaction of knowing that you got the most out of yourself on that day is really special.
Exactly.
Francesco always also said in his post, something about, you know, camaraderie and how this creates the camaraderie created during an endurance competition is unlike anything else. He says, I didn't exchange a single word with Matt yesterday running Chuckanut, yet we shared so much.
Yep.
Matt, can you comment on that a little bit? Yeah. Just the connection.
I mean, that's so true. And that's the beauty of it all. I think you experience things out on that trail, and in the 3.5 hours we were running, you go through a whirlwind of different emotions, different thoughts. And at the same time, like, you're both out there just doing the same thing. And it's cool when you finish a race like that and you get to embrace in a hug and a high five afterwards. And it's like, yeah, we've both been there. You know, it's not the same as like going into war together, but, you know, it has that same sort of feeling. Like, we both came out on the other side of that and we're okay. And it was really cool to see the outcome. And, I think Lance Armstrong actually just recently on a podcast talked about how, like, back in his day, you know, there was no high fives and hugs at the finish line, and how, like, everybody's changing, and endurance sports are changing, where there's more camaraderie and kindness and love. But he said the crazy thing is at the same time, competition is getting faster, and you know, athletes are getting better. And so I think it's just proof that you don't have to be enemies to, you know, get the most out of yourself. Like I think we've previously thought, I think it's kind of cool. I use the word frenemies with Francesco. I think it's one of those things where, you know, you both experience something deep, and yeah, it just elevates your performance to a whole nother level.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it made me think a lot. Like, one of the thoughts I had is that it seems like in order to be considered like a good athlete, like a respected athlete, a champion, what people would say, yeah, a champion of the sport, like, you have to be very self-centered, self-focused, and you can't, like, support or cheer your competitors. But I think that's totally not true. Like, you can still be a really good competitor, a winner, a champion, and still, like, support your competitors, cheer for your competitors, and hope that on any day, on any competition, they're able to give their best. Because only when, like, all the people, like, yeah, everyone is able to really give their best is when, like, the real beauty of the competition happens for me. And the fact that we were both able to offer our best to each other, for me, is like the best sign of respect and sportsmanship, I think, beyond any word and sign. And that's where I really find the value in our race, in the bond that created during the competition. So I wrote that I will never look at you in the same way as before because of this experience. And it's not because I didn't respect you before, but it's because we got to experience something really special. Therefore, like, it's when, it's kind of similar to when you find a friend, you know, you don't ever look at the same person in the same way again. And that's happened to me only a handful of times throughout my career. And the funny thing is that I was usually, like, in your position, like, I was usually ending up in second place and chasing someone. Like, it happened with Jim Walmsley, for example, in the 2019 World Championship in Patagonia. It felt very much like the same race as Jacanat, except that I was the chaser. Like, I was in your position, and Jim was in my position. Or it happened many, many times with Stian Angermoen, for example. So to leave that experience from the other side also felt really, really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, and just to wrap up, you just kind of answered my last question about, you know, how your views of one another have changed and how your relationship has morphed since this experience. Matt, do you view Francesco any differently after what transpired last weekend?
Yeah, I don't know if I view him any differently. I think our experiences like this bring you closer. And so I'm excited for him to get out here to Boulder and for us to share some miles and, you know, at a conversational pace and enjoy, like, you know, that time together as friends and training partners for a little bit. And, you know, I've always really respected Francesco. And I think up until this point, I haven't had the opportunity to really like truly race him. I've always had, you know, pretty bad days when I've raced him in the past. And so I think getting to, like, share that experience together and having, you know, him come out here to the US and run a race here was really cool and really special. But yeah, Francesco's always been a class act to me and a good friend. And I wouldn't say, yeah, my view of him has changed at all, but I do think that our friendship, you know, you become closer after you go through a race like that and a competition like that together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I've always respected you as an athlete, and, like, knowing your background and, like, how you train, your mentality. Also, I've listened to some podcasts that you've recorded the one we deal in, for example, was really, really nice. It feels like I know you a little bit, but after this race, I'm really curious to discover our friendship and just get to know you better.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to chat and opening up about your experiences and your the epic battle that you had. It was awesome to watch from the sidelines, but I can't wait to see what you guys do next.
Yeah, thanks. It's so good to see you guys. And yeah, hopefully we can all get together soon. I'm stoked for you to get to Boulder, Francesco.